Dünyayı çekersin. Okay. Moshe Rabbeinu is born. Moshe Rabbeinu has been hidden. Moshe Rabbeinu has been found. And now, the irony that only a Kadosh Baruch Hu could create, the Redeemer of the Jewish people is being raised in the palace of the Pharaoh, who is their tormentor. In the third reading of Shashmais, introduces us now to Moshe Rabbeinu as an individual. So up until now, either Miriam is taking care of him, or Basia is taking care of him, or he's growing up somewhere. Now, we're going to get introduced to Moshe Rabbeinu for the first time as he stands on his own two feet. In verse 10, the Torah tells us, Vayigdal hayeled, the child grew up, and that after he grew up, he was brought to Bas Parai, to the daughter of Pharaoh, and she calls him Moshe. And it is telling and compelling that until the end of time, we refer to him not as Tuvia, in the way his mother called him, or Yedidya, meaning good, the friend of God, but rather we refer to him as Moshe. Kiminamayim mishisuhu, for he was drawn forth from the water. Verse 11, Vayihi bayomim ahim, and so it came to pass over these days. Vayigdal Moshe, and Moshe grows up. Vayetze el Echov, he goes out to his brothers, Vayar b'sivleisam, and he sees their burdens, or looks into their burdens. Vayar, and he sees, Ish Mitzi, an Egyptian man, Make Ish Ivri, is striking, is tormenting, is assaulting a Hebrew man, Me'echov, from amongst his brothers. There are many things that have to be understood in this pasuk. The first, the most obvious one is, that in verse 10, which is the end of the second reading, it says the word Vayigdal, and he grew up. And it says Vatviyehu Bespat Labaspari was brought to the Pharaoh's daughter. Verse 11, it says Vayihi Bayam Mehem, and so it came to pass in those days. And what's the next word that's used? Vayigdal. Again, the exact same word. So the question is, what's the difference between Vayigdal 1 and Vayigdal 2? He grew up twice. He grew up once. And then the first time he grew up went to the Bas Parai. He grew up a second time, and now, Vayetze Alechav, he goes out to his brothers. So this question is articulated by Rashi. Rashi says, Vayigdal Moshe, and Moshe grew up. Vahaloi Kvar Kosav. It already says that he grew up. He says it in verse 10, Vayigdal HaYeled. So before it's Vayigdal HaYeled, the Yeled grew up. Now it's Vayigdal Moshe, and Moshe grew up. It's the same word. One verse after the other. It cannot mean the same thing because it was followed up with something different. The first Vayigdal resulted in Vatviyeh Ulubas Pare, that it was brought to the Bas Pare. Here, meaning somebody brought him. And where did they bring him? Into the palace. Here, Vayigdal Moshe, Moshe grows up, and what happens? Vayetze, he goes out. He takes initiative. And where does he go? Not into the palace, away from the trouble, but rather El Echov, out to his brothers. So the result that's engendered through the second Vayigdal is totally different than the first Vayigdal. The first Vayigdal is that he was cocooned, taken into a safe spot. And the second Vayigdal is he's not taken, but rather he elects to go. Vayetze, he goes out. And where? The polar opposite of the safe spot in the palace, out to where the slaves are being tormented, beaten, and even killed. So Rashi says, Halik Farkasa Vayigdal Yelet. And now it says Vayigdal again. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Eloi. Rabbi Yehuda, the son of Rabbi Eloi, said, Harishain Lekoima. The first time it says Vayigdal, it refers to his physical stature. It refers to his height. He was physically a big boy. Bahasheni, the second time though, is not referring to his person, but to his position. Ligdula. The second time, not that he grew up personally, but rather that there was a position that he grew into. Sheminohu Paroi al Beisei. The Pharaoh said to him, Moses, you're ready for your first job. And so he gave him responsibility. He appointed him as being in charge, if you will, the overseer of palace affairs. So now that Moshe Rabbeinu was the chief of staff, overseer of palace affairs, now he goes out to see what's doing with his brothers. The Ramban, incidentally, says, the Rishay means he didn't need anybody else's help. up until the first Vayigdal, he was still being nursed, or at least being taken care of, being looked after by his mother, by others. The second is that he grew up and he became intelligent. So it wasn't just a question of his physical hygiene, it wasn't just a question of his personal needs being met. Now he had the ability to think and to analyze situations, circumstances. He could understand what was going on around him. So the moment the Ramban says that he was able to understand what was going on around him, the first thing he did was display compassion and concern for another. We'll come back to this soon. Vayar besivleisim, what does he do? He looks deeply into their sorrows, into their burdens. So Rashi says, what does this mean, he looked into their burdens? Nosan einav velibay, he placed his eyes and his heart, liyes meitzer aleihem, that he felt their pain, that he was able to empathize with them. So this means, in once that he grew up and he had responsibility, instead of being carried away with his own responsibility, as Rashi said, responsibility to Moshe Rabbeinu meant not just to be important, but rather to be nice. And so if he was important, if he had an important position, that meant that he had the ability to look at somebody else's life and see, so what was doing? How were they faring? And it wasn't good what he saw. He saw there's an Ish Mitzri. Who is this Ish Mitzri? So Rashi gives us some background here. Negei Soyo. He was one of the people whose job was to torment the slaves. He was what you would call a slave driver. Memuna al Sheitri Yisrael. He was not responsible for the slaves directly. He was responsible for the Jewish officers, the Jewish kapos who had been recruited to drive the slaves. So he drove the slave drivers. V'hoye ma'amidon mikreis ha'gever. He would come crack his whip and wake them up from the call of the rooster. L'malachtam, there was no rest. Nobody slept in. From the call of dawn, from the call of the rooster, he was there waking up the slave drivers so that they would in turn wake up and drive the rest of the slaves to work. So what happened? That Moshe saw that he was make ish ivri, that he was tormenting, he was assaulting, hitting, beating this Jewish man, this ivri man. So he wasn't killing him. He didn't kill him. He assaulted him continuously. Rashi says, Malkehu v'roidehu. He was beating him. He was abusing him. Now Rashi gives us the background. Here's what was going on. Bailo shel Shlomis bas Divri hoya. This was the husband of Shlomit, the daughter of Divri. Now, unfortunately, Shlomit bas Divri was a little too forward, and she managed to get far too much male attention that was healthy. V'nosan einav ba. No, nobody's blaming her, but this is what happened. This slave driver noticed her, and he took notice. He was interested in her. And what happened was, Balailo he'emidai, he came in the middle of the night, woke up the husband, haitziyim ibeisai, took him out of the house. I don't know, maybe told him, stand against this wall, don't move or I kill you. And then, while the husband was outside, v'hu chazav nichnas labayis, he, the Egyptian slave driver himself, came back into the house. And he was intimate with his wife. She was, I guess, half asleep. She thought it was her husband. Then afterwards, the man comes back into his house. And he figured out what happened over here. When this mitzri saw that the husband figured out it had his number. So then, insult wasn't enough. Injury wasn't enough. He added further insult and injury by tormenting him and beating him continuously. And that's the story of this Ishivri. So this is the Moshe Rabbeinu sees this. He figures this all out. It's exactly what's going on. So what does he do? Vayifen koy v'choy. Moshe Rabbeinu looks this way, looks that way. Vayar ki einish, he sees there's nobody there. There's no man there. Vayaches ha-mitzri, he strikes the mitzri. Vayitmineu b'choy, he hides the evidence in the sand. Rashi tells us, vayifen koy v'choy. He looked both ways. So Rashi says, this does not refer to a physical looking to see if anybody was there, but rather, ra masha osolei babayis. Vayifin koi v'choi, as he investigated. He didn't just act out of emotion or anger. He's very carefully investigated. He looked at the situation. He understood what was going on here. Vayifin koi v'choi, he saw Ma'asaleba bias, what did this person do to him in the house? Ma'asaleba sada, what he did to him in the field. And therefore, once Moshe Rabbeinu evaluated the evidence, carefully analyzed the situation, took everything into stock, and he said, this is what has to be done. He came to a conclusion, ulafi pshutei, but Rashi says, if you want to interpret the verse literally, kemashmai, you know, he looked around to make sure nobody else was there. And so when he saw nobody else was there, or, and according to the first interpretation of Rashi, when he saw that this guy was in fact guilty, but as we'll soon see, there was nobody else to carry out the prosecution. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to foresee in Ruach HaKodesh that there was nothing good waiting to come from this individual. And so when he saw that, he struck him, and he hides the evidence. Let's take a look at some of the other mafarshim. It says that he saw their burdens. So Ramban says, what does it mean that he saw their burdens? First of all, he became aware that he was a Jew. He was a Hebrew. So he understood that this is his family. And when he understood this is his family, he wanted to see, if I'm a Hebrew, he said, I want to know how the Hebrews are faring. And what did he see? He saw sivleisam, he saw burdens. He saw that the work was not actually designed so that they would be effective. They could accomplish something, which in some way at least gives a person satisfaction. He knows he's accomplishing something. Instead, he saw that the work was designed to be totally demoralizing. They were not trying to accomplish anything. The buildings they built would eventually collapse. This was purely, by design, a demoralization of the people, crushing their spirits. So Moshe Rabbeinu saw that. He saw that, as the Emek Dover says, he saw that the tachlis ha'avayda, that the whole purpose, the whole goal in here was to destroy the people. La'ana is bnei Yisrael, to torment them. Not really because the king needed the work. And then he saw this fellow was make ish ivri. He was striking this Hebrew fellow. So the Sefarno says something very interesting. Why does it say he saw ish mitzri make ish ivri me'echav? It already says El Echav. In the same verse, in verse 11, it says he went out to his brothers. So we know that he regards the Hebrews as his brothers. So why do you have to say that when you speak about an individual Hebrew, when you speak about an Ish Ivri, that you have to say it's Me'echav? We already know that Moshe Rabbeinu sees a brotherly connection, that he feels a kindred bond, that he's coming out to see Echav. So the Sefarno says that what was awakened within Moshe was a feeling of brotherly concern. In other words, sometimes we speak of great leaders who are moved because of the righteousness of a cause, the morality of a cause. It calls to them, it inspires them. I'm moved by what's right and wrong here. No, that's not the Jewish way. It's much more than what's right and wrong here. For a Jewish leader, it has to be a familial connection. He has to feel like it's his family. That means to be a true leader. Just to be moved by the rectitude of a particular cause is not sufficient. And that's not the way of Moshe. So it was the achva, it was the feeling, the familial bond that moved him, that inspired him. So Moshe Rabbeinu sees this individual. He sees what's going on over here. So Rashi told us, he looks around to see what's going on. Abar Ben El speaks about this at length. He says, just want to make sure, you know, coast was clear. Nobody's out to get him. Nobody's going to find him or report him. However, the Ksava Kabbalah says something a little different. He says, Vayifin koi v'choi, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to see, is somebody else going to help this guy? This guy needs help. He's just being endlessly tormented. Will somebody else care? Vayifin koi v'choi, v'yakeinish. Nobody will come to this man's help. Nobody will come to his aid. There's nobody's going to care about him. And Moshe Rabbeinu then, when he sees that nobody will come to his aid, there's no choice. Then he has to take affirmative action. The Emek Dover says something gevaldik here. He says, the Torah emphasizes Vayar, that it was an Ish Mitzri, that it was Make Ish Ivri. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu saw that this was pure, naked anti-Semitism. Nothing else. The guy was being beaten because he was a Jew, in the story. Not because he did something wrong, not because he had fallen short, not because he had nothing inappropriate. He was a Jew. That, when he saw that, Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't take that. Moshe Rabbeinu said, if he's being beaten because he's a Jew, then I need to take action. Vayarki einish. So the Moshe of Zakenim says, there may have been some children around. It says einish, but there was nobody capable. Somebody capable. In other words, a person can say, oh, there's somebody else around there. But he says, yeah, he's not a mensch. He's not going to be able to do anything. Well, I'm exempt. There's somebody else there. Let somebody else figure it out. Moshe said, I have to look. Is somebody capable? Somebody who can do something about this? It's not a question of getting away with the situation because somebody else was there. There's no mensch over there. There was no ish. There's nobody who could do the job. And because that was the case, he decided he would have to do what he had to do. The Emek Dover says something unbelievable once again. He furthers his thesis. He says, Vayar ki einish Moshe Rabbeinu saw there was no recourse. This man did not have the ability to go to court. He did not have the ability to call the police. Nobody would come to his aid. Do you know why? Because he was a Jew. Because these were all anti-Semites. Because they hated Jews. And he said, here was a Jew who was being tormented because he was a Jew. And nobody would help him. And he had no recourse. When there's no recourse, that's when you can take the law into your own hands. There was no choice. When Moshe Rabbeinu saw nobody would help this man who was being tormented, that's when Vayaches Hamitzi, the Ibn Ezra says, perhaps he wore a sword, perhaps he carried a spear. You know, people had those days. Although Rabbeinu Bechaya emphasizes the Medrash, which Rashi later talks about, he marshaled the powers of Hashem's name, and by uttering them, he was able to destroy this man's, separate his body and soul. And once he did that, that's when he had the evidence. Unfortunately, things do not go so nicely for Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? Because B'Tselem was right there. And once the quote-unquote Jewish human rights organization was there to defend the Nazi monsters who were tormenting the Jewish people, Moshe Rabbeinu said, uh-oh, now we're in trouble. And that's what happened. It was the B'Tselem of yesteryear, these, so to speak, self-appointed, self-righteous human rights who defend terrorists and attack innocent people. When then they saw this, they went and they told the Pharaoh. And they told the Pharaoh, all was lost. Moshe Rabbeinu in the end has to flee and run for his life. Okay, so let's analyze this business of Moshe Rabbeinu growing up and see more about the first thing that Moshe Rabbeinu ever does as an independent adult. Everything else was done to him. He was taken into the marsh. He was placed in a basket. Batya found him, took him. Miriam brought him home. Then he grew up. He was brought to the Pharaoh's house. This is the first time that Vayigdol Moshe Vayetze, the first thing he does. First thing he goes out. What's the first thing he does? First affirmative action. He deals with the situation. And he does what has to be done. So we'll start off on page Ayin Beis. We're going to learn two biurim today. The first one is that Rebbe speaking about the two Vayigdals. Vayigdal 1, Vayigdal 2, verse 10 and verse 11. And the way Rashi explains it, but the Rebbe explains Rashi's words not only in a literal fashion, but also in a metaphoric and spiritual fashion, which imparts a beautiful lesson to us. So the Rebbe says, Rashi told us the first one was Lekoima, the first one is he became physically fit, became like a big boy, and the second one was more of a responsibility thing. So the Rebbe suggests that we could also explain these two ideas, Beruchnis, from a spiritual perspective. Number one, Harisha in the first Vayigdal is Lekoima. Lekoima means literally for height, gestalt. It means for structure. And that, on a spiritual level, that means that the Shleimus of Moshe Rabbeinu reached a level of perfection. He reached a level of development, self-development of his character. He became what you call a mensch. He grew up to be somebody who's effective, somebody who's capable. Shir kamase haruchni is hayigaveya mikol ish min hanushu. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu's height, not necessarily physical height, although it could be that too, but we say like a person is head and shoulders above others. We're not speaking about the physical height. We're speaking about the proverbial height of a person. Kedivrei Hazal, like the words of our sages, from Moshe Rabbeinu we learn, ein hashchina sheira ela al adam giber va'asher. The Shechina will only look for a person to rest itself if that person is wise, if that person is of powerful character, if that person is wealthy and affluent, does not have to, so to speak, kowtow to others, and finally a bal koyma, a person of height, a person of stature. But here, of course, we don't refer necessarily to physical stature, we refer to spiritual stature. So therefore, the Rebbe suggests when Rashi says Harishon Lekoima, the first time it says Vayigdal, it refers to height or stature, that we're talking here about the stature of Moshe Rabbeinu. We're talking about who he was as an individual, we're talking about his character, his personality. Vahasheni, and the second one is Ligdula. In other words, the Milo, the virtue of Moshe Rabbeinu as a manhig, as a leader, as a Roya Yisrael, as a shepherd of Israel. And through the leadership and shepherding of the Jewish people, ultimately he becomes a leader of global importance. He makes a difference in the whole wide world. Now, according to what we said, we could say there seems to be a machlekes, a dispute amongst the sages, in the meaning of Vateira Isiki Teva. Moshe Rabbeinu was born, it says, she saw he was good. And this is a dispute. Our sages have a discussion about this in the Gemara Masechet Sota. It's discussed about it in the Zohar also. So the question is, what does it mean that he was good? Does it mean Nolad Mohol? Does it mean that he was born circumcised? That means good, meaning perfect. He was born already done. Or does it mean that the house filled with light? The Rebbe says, this is not just a technical dispute, but here we see the two dimensions of Moshe Rabbeinu. On one hand, the verse could be emphasizing, could be madgish tzidkusa shel Moshe kishel atzmei, the person of Moshe. Moshe was a perfect individual, metaphorized by the fact that he was born circumcised. He was perfect. Everything was developed. It was all right. Everything was good. But the second opinion is, it's not about Moshe as an individual, it's not about him being perfect, rather, it's about Moshe's influence. It's about what Moshe does for others. Nismale habayis kuli yoreh, the house becomes filled with light. It's not just about Moshe being good, it's about him creating goodness for others. So here we have then the same idea of the vayigdal and vayigdal. The first vayigdal is Moshe grows individually, then there's Moshe growing, not just in his personal stature, not just in his own character traits, but rather in his responsibility, in his ability to lead others, in his desire to lead others. So for this, we'll finish off with the second beer, which is Chof Aleph, on the next page. The Rebbe points out, Mimais hazeh shel Moshe Rabbeinu, from this story, Hamaise harishayim, the first story, Mitoich pu'uleisef shel Moshe, from all the activities of Moshe, during a long lifetime of Moshe Rabbeinu, yesh lilmeid heiran neirfla b'avedis Hashem. There's a wondrous lesson that we could learn in our service to Hashem from the way Moshe Rabbeinu behaved and how the Torah conveys to us the first thing he did. Let's think about it. Moshe Gadol, Moshe grew up where? Bebeis HaMelech. He grew up in the royal house. How did he grow up as? He grew up as the adopted son of the daughter of the Pharaoh. This is impressive. He grows up in Bitashal HaMelech Dogo L'Chotzrachov, the crown princess herself. She provides him for everything. You think Moshe Rabbeinu was missing something in life? Probably not. Grew up with a silver spoon and then some. Ulam Reisais, and despite the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu lived in what you would call the lap of luxury, in a perfectly secure environment, having everything he could possibly need, he didn't remain there in the palace. What did he do? Ella Yotza. He went out of his comfort zone. And he did so not because he was curious. He wanted to go sightseeing. He wanted to see the burdens and the pain, the challenge and chagrin of others. To see, not just because it was a fact-finding mission, this is curious, this is interesting, let me go check out some other cultures so I can have a more developed personality. I like to look at what's going on around me. No. He went to see, but it wasn't for the purpose of seeing. This wasn't sightseeing. This was to see, can he help? Is there anything he can do? And in fact, when he does see that there is this Ish Mitzri, this Egyptian man, who he is tormenting this Hebrew man, Moshe Rabbeinu did not think twice, and he put his life in danger. And he actually ended up in big danger. They took him to kill him. Ubilvad, what was the one condition? He put his life in danger. What was he trying to accomplish? I mean, he didn't just put his life in danger, he went bungee jumping. You know, let me do something thrilling. Why did he put his life in danger? Well, what did he seek?
To save his brother.
He sought to save somebody. Lahatzel Echav, save his brother, as you said correctly. His brother, Mi'ad HaMitzi, his Hebrew brother from the hand of this Egyptian. V'chol Zeis, and all of this, Al Afkish Shemedubar Lehoya B'Yehudi Baldaga Guvea, we speak not of a lofty, high, very impressive kind of individual. This is Baila Shal Shlemes Baz Divri. Shlemes Baz Divri is Hayechido Michol B'Neis Yisrael, the only one of the Jewish daughters, of the entire sojourn of the Jewish people in Egypt, the entire exilic odyssey. She pirsim akas of the Torah gives you her name. Shehi levad ha'isazayna. That she the only one who, you know, she was looking for male attention. She was a loose girl. The only one of the whole nation. This is the only child of rape. She has a child. This child makes a lot of trouble later. Moshe Rabbeinu saves this child and he makes a lot of trouble. But this is the only child of rape. All of the children were born actually from a chaste reality. The only one of the whole nation. So, and their husband Mestama was not such a big tzaddik. That was his wife. He was Mestama. That was a good shidduch. It was probably somewhere along the same lines. And yet, Moshe Rabbeinu say, "This guy, take a look at his wife. Take a look at him. These are not exactly people of high birth. These are not people of great moral character. I should go risk my life. I should turn myself topsy turvy for these people. I mean, if it's an important person, okay, a person of high birth and great pedigree, no." We can understand the soul in a spiritual parallel. A Yid finds himself in the palace. In the Heichalish Melech Malchim Lachem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in God's palace. He finds himself in a place of Torah. He finds himself in a place of tefillah, in a place of study, in a place of prayer. He's not missing anything. He's got everything he could possibly need. The Gashmi is, Beruchni is, materially, spiritually. Everything is good. So what should he do? Stay in Borough Park and eat pizza? What should he do? So go out of your place of comfort. Go out of the king's palace. Go leave the environs of where everything is good. And l'chapes Yehudi, go seek out a Yid. Shechosel edover mal is missing something. And when you find a Yid is missing something, what, you write up a report? You should find, that's interesting. He's missing something. What should you do? Do something about it. The sayelai. Not only when he's a Yid of high birth, oh, this Yid, he's a Yid of Hashem Tov, you know. Okay, I'll go out of my way and help him. No. This is the simplest of the simple. A low family. That low person, that person is in, yeah, go out of your comfort zone. Risk your life. Turn everything topsy-turvy. Try to help him. From the Mitzarim, from the strictures of Golos, which are squeezing and obscuring his neshama, you try to save him from that. And bring him back on the highway that leads to the direction of the king of all kings, Melech Malchim Lachem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that, says the Rebbe, the first lesson we learn from Moshe is that he was ready to do for another, and this is the kind of lesson we must emulate in our lives, to leave our comfort zone and see what we could do to help another Yid, to bring him home to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.